Chapter 33. "This is Thomas," I told Charity, waving a hand at my brother, who had fallen into step beside me as I left the church. "He's more dangerous than he looks."
"I have a black belt," Thomas explained.
Charity arched an eyebrow, looked at Thomas for about a second, and said, "You're the White Court vampire who took my husband to that strip bar." Thomas gave Charity a toothy smile and said, "Hey, it's nice to be remembered, and to work with someone who has a clue." He hooked a thumb at me and added, sotto voce, "For a change." Charity's regard didn't change. It wasn't icy, nor friendly, nor touched by emotion. It was simply a remote, steady gaze, the kind one reserves for large dogs who pass nearby. Cautious observation, unexcited and deliberate.
"I appreciate that you have fought beside my husband before, but I also want you to understand that what you are gives me reason to regard you with suspicion. Please do nothing to deepen that sentiment. I do not remain passive to threats."
Thomas pursed his lips. I half expected anger to touch his gaze, but it didn't. He simply nodded and said, "Understood, ma'am."
"Good," she said, and we reached her van. "You ride in the rearmost seat."
I started to protest, but Thomas put his hand on my shoulder and shook his head.
"Her ride, her rules," he murmured to me in passing. "I can respect that, so can you."
So we all got in and headed for the carpenter's house.
"How's Mouse?" Thomas asked.
"Legs hurt," I said.
"Took one hell of a shot to do it," he noted.
"That's why I left him back there," I said. "Could be he's pushing his luck. Besides, he can help Fort Hill keep an eye on the kids."
"Uh-huh," Thomas said. "Am I the only one who is starting to think that maybe Mouse is something special?"
"Always thought that," I said. "I wonder if he's an actual breed."
Charity glanced over her shoulder and said,
"He looks something like a Caucasian."
"Impossible," I said. "He has rhythm, and he can dance."
Charity shook her head and said, "It's a dog bred by the Soviet Union in the Caucasus Mountains for use in secured military installations. It's one of the only breeds that grows so large, but they tend to be a great deal more aggressive than your dog."
"Oh, he's aggressive enough for anybody when he needs to be," I said.
Thomas engaged Charity in a polite conversation about dogs and breeds, and I leaned my head against the window and promptly fell asleep. I woke up briefly when the van stopped. Charity and Thomas spoke, and I dozed as they loaded some things into the van. I didn't wake up again until Thomas touched my shoulder and said, "We're at your apartment, Harry."
"Yeah," I mumbled. "Okay."
I blinked a couple of times and hopped out of the van.
"Thomas," I said, "get in touch with Murphy for me and tell her I need her at my place, now. And here."
I fumbled in my duster's pockets and found a white napkin and a marker. I wrote another number. "Call this number. Tell them that I'm calling in my personal marker."
Thomas took the paper and arched a brow.
"Can't you be any more specific?"
"I don't have to be," I said. "They'll know why I want them. This will just tell them that it's time for them to get together with me."
"Why me?" Thomas asked.
"Because I don't have time," I said. "So unless you want to play with dangerous magic divinations, call the damn number and stop making me waste time explaining myself."
"Heil Harry," Thomas said, his tone a bit sullen, but I knew he'd do it.
"Hair?" I asked Charity.
She passed me an unmarked white envelope, her expression a mask.
"Thank you."
I took it and headed for my apartment, the two of them following after me.
"I'll be working downstairs. The two of you should stay in the living room. Please be as quiet as you can and don't walk around too much."
"Why?" Charity asked. I shook my head tiredly and waved a hand.
No questions right now. I'll need everything I've got to find where they took Molly, and I'm already rushing this thing. Let me concentrate. I'll explain it later.
If I survive it, I thought.